Every once in a while in the Bible, you find a story that actually fulfills what God has asked people to do. Don't you love when that happens? And so I'm going to bring forth this message this morning because we are the continuation of all the things that are written about in the scriptures as to how we are to act and live so that other people can see evidence in our lives by how we act and how we treat each other. And that would also fulfill what's been taught through the scriptures. I'm going to begin in the book of Ephesians, and this I'm going to put together two different stories. One by the same person. Paul is the writer of Ephesians. He's also the writer of Colossians and all a lot of the epistles in the New Testament. And he also writes a letter, a short letter to Philemon that we're going to get to as well, and who was also in Coloss. So the key is here. Paul was in jail. He was imprisoned in Rome at the time of these writings. So he was, because of preaching the gospel message throughout his life and through his journeys, it brought him a lot of persecution, and consequently he ends up in the Roman jail. That's how they tried to stop him from bringing forth the word. So, just as all people do, when they want to get the message across, they find another way to still speak the truth. And so he writes these letters to the early churches. They were the first beginning churches in that area. And he begins by writing to the people in Ephesus. And he's teaching them the fact that they are people that once were apart from God, but now are a part of God, because the bulk of the folks there were actually Gentiles. So the Jews and the Gentiles cohabitated in Ephesus. And so Paul is writing to each of those groups saying, both of you are a part of the kingdom of God. And then he also begins to tell them, those that became new Christians, followers of Christ, that they were to be different than the rest of the world. And we see that message. Jesus taught that early on at the end of his ministry, that we're in the world, but not of the world. We're to be different, correct? And so Paul, in his letter, is writing to that early, early church, because around them, they were a small band of people. The early church was met in homes, and so they would just be a small, tiny group of people very often worshiping God and worshiping Christ and learning all the things about who God is. And so he writes to the group, and he's teaching them that when they become a new Christian, they become a new creation. And we also see that in the book of Colossians. But then he begins to say what we're supposed to do when we become that Christian. And that's where the message comes to the rest of us. And so in verse 32 of Ephesians 4, it says, "Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." So far we have directions, don't we? Be kind to each other, which we are. Be tenderhearted. That means having empathy, having compassion towards others. Forgiving one another. You've heard that a number of times, right? Through these messages here at church, right? Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And so that's the message he puts at the end of this particular chapter. So we got that, right? Now, how do we put it into practical application? Thus the book of Philemon. So we're going to go a little further forward in the New Testament. This is one of the shortest books in the Bible, by the way, so it's not a lot of words, so this sure ought to be a pretty short sermon, one would say. I can make up for the difference of what's missing, can I? Philemon, chapter 1, the only chapter. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Jesus Christ, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Aphira, and to our fellow soldier Achitus, and to the church that meets in your house. So this letter is going to Philemon and the entire church. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Wonderful. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. Doesn't this sound like the book of Cornerstonians? And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Cornerstonian? Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That's us. That's you. That's me. That's us, right? That is why I'm boldly asking a favor of you. Ruh-roh. It was good up until then. I should have stopped, right? I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner for the sake of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been much of use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I'm in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. Something big is coming. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. You gotta love Paul, right? Yes, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. So what's this all about, this Onesimus guy? Onesimus, I should say. I said it wrong there. Well, he was actually, back in biblical times, you may know that there were people that were under Roman oppression. They also were part of the economy, and very often people would work for other people, and they would be termed as slaves because the person basically owned them, so that they would work only for them. And so back during Roman times, there might have been 10,000 people in this city of Colossus, and over 1 million people worked for those leaders. So a lot of heads owning businesses, corporations, if you will, and a lot of worker bees. And that's who Onesimus was. And so for some reason, there was this problem between Philemon and Onesimus. And so the thing of it is, he ran away from Colossus to Ephesus. And that's where Paul, well, actually, I take it back. He went to Rome. And so as Paul was in jail, somehow, some way, this man, Onesimus, came to Christ. He was changed. His name actually used to mean useless. And we don't know what that name was, because Paul gave him a new name, which often happens. When we come to Christ, we might have been useless before, and now we're useful afterwards. That became his name, useful. And that's why Paul uses this play on words. I know that he was not very useful to you in the past, but now he is useful to both of us. You see how that happens? And in the Greek, the word actually adds the word Christo in there. It means came to Christ, you become useful. That's how they use this in the Greek. It was Christo before, Christo afterwards, just to throw that in for you. Know how wordplay works with God? Words matter, names matter. But here's the whole point. This man obviously stole something from his owner. He had possibly embezzled. He ends up in jail. Guess who's in jail with him in Rome? Paul. Guess what happens when Paul meets this man? Conversion happened, didn't it? Repentance happened, didn't it? God took one person, I'll just call him what a mess he was. How about that? Or maybe, oh, what a mess I was, right? Onesimus meets Paul, and his heart is converted. He becomes a Christian. And then what happens? Paul decides the important thing for this man's life is to go back and reconcile, to make amends, to be brought back into the fold with Philemon. Now, Philemon was actually the pastor of this church that Paul writes this letter to. And you notice how Paul writes the letter? He writes it to not only Philemon to keep it secret, he wrote it to the entire church. Can you imagine if God wanted something from you, like say what Paul's asking of Philemon to forgive this man, which is essentially what he's asking for, right? He's saying, take him back in. He's now your brother. He's not below you anymore. Don't look at him as a slave or less than you. He's equal to you because of Christ. Treat him as equal. Bring him into your church. But can you just imagine if God wrote a letter to you through someone and then the entire church got to read it and hear it? No peer pressure there, is there? So what do you suppose Philemon did? Can we have a vote? How many of you would take a person back that stole from you? That cheated you? That lied about you? That slandered you? That hurt you? We lost hands there. Which people are we supposed to forgive? When I was reading this, and I don't know why God brought it to me, except to say, just think the fact that God wanted one person, whose name is hard to even pronounce, for me at least, Onesimus. God saw that one person who ran away from a person because he hurt them, ran far away from God, obviously. It was about 1,000 miles that he ran from Colossae to actually Rome. He ran really pretty far away from God, did he not? And did this man, Philemon, was he entitled to reimbursement? Yeah. Some people should pay us back, right, for what they did to us? Should everybody pay us back? No payback? No payback. What? Are you supposed to pay people back for what you've done wrong to them? Would it make amends with them, right? If it's... gets a little... Does it make your mind go a little like, what should I do? What I saw in this one man is the fact that God singled him out, this person who was considered a slave, someone who worked for somebody else, didn't probably get his fair share. We know that Philemon was quite wealthy, and he was useless to him. And so most likely, it's kind of in Philemon's mind, he was probably glad the guy left. But instead, God intervenes through Paul, right? And draws this man back to God. Can you ever get too far away from God ever? Can you ever do enough wrong that God is going to throw you away and forget about you? If there's a person in your life that's drifted away from God and you, should we call them back? We call them the prodigals, right? Oh, then again, there might be someone hurt by the side of the road, right? And they may need something, right? And we just pass by them, right? Because they probably deserve being there in the first. What are they doing by the side of the road anyway in this part of town? Do you see the connection between the prodigal son, the Good Samaritan story, where the person that comes along, the Samaritan comes along and takes that man into the inn and then says take care of him staying overnight as long as he gets better. And as he gets better, and if it goes beyond the money I've given you, I'm going to come and give you more later. I'm going to pay it back later. You know what we're called to be as Christians? Mediators. Someone who is objective to both sides and all sides. Someone who may not know the whole story, but we know the story that brought a person to where they are. There's a reason for that. But we want to bring them and reconcile them back to God, don't we? Don't we? Even when someone's guilty of the most heinous crimes, Jesus paid the price for everyone, did he not? What I love about the scriptures in the New Testament, particularly with Paul, who was Saul, the worst of all sinners, he murdered Christians. Here he is in jail, and what's he doing? Showing mercy and grace and compassion to other sinners. Hey, guess what, folks? Guess who's going to show up in our church? Sinners, just like you and me. But we're maybe not as bad as Paul, so it gives you hope. But God saved them all, right? And when you're saved by grace, you then impart that grace to others. You don't ask for payback. You pay it forward to them. You say, I forgive you anyway, and you don't owe me anything in return. It is a mixed up, upside down way to live, is it not? Back to Ephesians 4:32. See, we can read scriptures all day long. I can keep going through Colossians. I won't, but I could. Be kind to each other, even the sinners, even though less than, even though they don't look like, sound like, act like, they don't have it all together like all of us. Be tender-hearted, gentle, compassionate, forgiving one another just as God forgave you. So either you're going to be like God and forgive others as God forgave you, who paid the ultimate price for you, right? The good thing about this is this. You don't have to pay God anything back. Isn't that good to know? Now, do you want to? In your life, right? You want to become like that, right? That's how we pay God back, by paying it forward to others, by giving them what God gave us. Is there anybody in this room who's never been forgiven of anything? Is there anyone in this room who's never made a mistake? Maybe the folks on Facebook have never fallen short. Have any of you ever been far, far, far away from God, so far that you don't even, or maybe you didn't even believe in God and you're still trying to even believe in God now? Or maybe you've drifted away in some way, shape, or form for any number of reasons, because life circumstances happen? Or maybe because someone hurt you or continues to hurt you, and then you just can't seem to forgive that person? And that person may not even be alive today, and you still can't seem to forgive them, wherever they may be? Anybody like that? Nobody's like that here? Good. Okay. If there is, it's time to forgive whoever it was. Just as God forgave you. And if you don't believe that God forgave you, we could have a chat after service. Because the cross bears witness. That's the evidence right there of how much God loves us and how much God wants us all in relationship. Even when, for those of us that have been chief sinners like Paul, he was Saul at that time, and then he became Paul later, right? We in Christ are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation, right? What happened to all your sins? Gone. Now, what about the sins of other people? So you hold nothing against anyone right now, correct? Way to go, Cornerstonians. We're getting there. If you haven't come to Christ as Onesimus did, today's the day. We're in a church, of all places, a small church very, very similar to the one in Colossae. Small place. Lots of great, powerful people. A powerful, awesome God. If today is the day that you need to come to Christ, we, this morning, call you to that time. Paul was chained to a Roman soldier while he ministered to this man. We're free, right? You're not chained to anything, perhaps, unless it's just your past. So you're free. You're free to choose Christ today. You're free to choose to forgive yourself and others today. And I'm asking you a favor. Now, I could tell you what to do, since I'm the mighty pastor. But I'm asking you to do yourself a favor. Come to Christ with all the things that you still hold on to about yourself or someone else or some situation from your past or even the today and be set free. When Philemon brought back Onesimus later on went back to Paul after Paul got out of jail, and then he became an evangelist. And he was actually martyred, stoned to death, because he wouldn't deny Christ. That was a changed man, was it not? So if God could take that one person who ran away and then brought him back into the relationship with Christ, just think how much more important you are today. You matter just as much as that man. And you are free to choose life. You are free to come to Christ empty-handed. You don't have to pay anything back, nor do you want to pay anyone else back except with grace, mercy, and forgiveness, correct? I know church is going to end. I will say this. Do yourself a favor. Forgive yourself. Forgive everyone else. Do yourself a greater favor. If you've never come to Christ with all of your heart, do that this morning. I'll stay here in the sanctuary for as long as necessary. And no, we will not chain you to your seats so that we can keep you here until that happens. But I will tell you this. When you are rid of guilt and shame, when you don't feel like you owe God back and you don't deserve anything, you'll stop self-sabotaging your life. Because many of you self-punish for what you've done in the past. So you can be free, a brother and sister in Christ, just as Onesimus was. And Philemon, for all you Philemons that are here, think about anyone or everyone in your life that deserves and needs your forgiveness. Once again, you'll be free by freeing them. Let us pray. Most loving God, we know you are the God of all of us. Each and every one of us is so uniquely made. You see each and every one of us individually, and yet collectively, you also see us. You know each of our hearts, God, and you know the troubles and trials that sometimes plague our minds. How so very often, God, we feel less than. We feel unworthy. We feel undeserving because we know we've made mistakes. We have shortcomings. We fail. But you and your infinite grace and mercy still love us and still forgive us. We thank you for that. And at the same time, God, you've changed all of our lives to be so much better because you are in us. And so, God, as that Spirit moves in us all this morning, let each of us think of those people in our lives that we too can draw back to you, God, that we too be willing to pay a price for them, God, by going to them and seeking them and finding them and helping them come to find you, Lord. But especially, Lord, let us forgive all people who've ever hurt or harmed us in any way, God, even if it's people that don't know you, God, and especially if they don't know you. Help us show you to others, God, by how we are kind, tenderhearted, and forgive one another and all other people just as you forgave us. And I pray, God, for anyone this morning who wants to come to know you in a personal way, to become the new creation in you, Christ. I ask and pray that you give them the desire and the strength and the power to come to you in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.